This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Scott Simon. The times when even the strongest among us get the blues. Can't get out of bed, you don't want to talk to anybody, you just want to close the curtains and turn on the music. The tunes you choose for those miseries have to be just right. NPR special correspondent Susan Stamberg tells us there's a new book designed to help with making such sad choices. This Will End in Tears, The Miserablest Guide to Music, is Adam Hotelling's encyclopedia of soundtracks for lonely days and lonely nights. Here's Susan's report.
Adam Hotelling says there's a good chance he was mildly miserable when he put the book together. It includes some fairly obvious choices. Lush Life, the lyric, "Life is lonely again, and only last year everything seemed so bright," and "I get along without you very well, except perhaps in spring, but I should never think of spring, for that would surely break my heart in two." You know, songs like that. But Adam Hotelling's book, This Will End in Tears, has some pretty esoteric stuff, too.
One that I would recommend would be a Swedish singer, Stina Nordenstam.
Uh-huh.
She has a very fragile, wispy voice that's very similar to Ricky Lee Jones or Blossom Dearie or Bjork. And she's pretty reclusive. She doesn't perform very often or give too many interviews. But her music kind of melds a lot of jazz and folk and ambient pop all together. My favorite is Everyone Else in This World.
You have to stand perfectly still. You have to close your eyes. Don't believe you can go. Everyone else in the world.
Oh, bless her. You know, I want to hug her or do something to cheer her up. Say her name again.
Stina Nordenstam.
And she is Scandinavian.
Yes, yeah, she's Swedish.
This would not cheer up that part of the world.
Probably not, no.
Yeah, yeah. Something a little bit peppier, but nonetheless esoteric.
There's an R&B singer that a lot of people probably know his most famous song, but may not know him very well, which is James Carr. He was the first person to record Dark End of the Street, and he's one of the best Southern soul singers ever. There's a lot of stuff that I love about his work. His first hit was You Got My Mind Messed Up, which is a personal favorite, but I also really love These Ain't Raindrops in My Eyes.
These ain't raindrops in my eyes that I wipe away. If you tell me you love me, everything.
Raw emotion indeed, James Carr, but you know, there's something that's sad, but it's aggressive too. I mean, in a good way.
Yeah, he's got a big voice.
Adam Hotelling, you've clearly studied what makes a good miserable song. So what can you tell us? Is it a matter of language, of juxtaposition of notes, or the key in which something's written?
None of those things necessarily by themselves create a sad song. There's certainly lots of happy songs with lots of minor chords in them, and certainly lyrics play a big part. I mean, I think in narrative song, just like reading a novel, there's an opportunity to kind of plug your own experiences into the song. I think that really helps create a connection with sad music.
Mm-hmm. It's not enough just to sing, "I'm so lonely I could die," although that has certainly been done.
Exactly.
I get the feeling that you think being unhappy may be a part of life which we need to celebrate in some strange way.
Yeah, that was really one of the reasons I wanted to write the book. A lot of books were being released about happiness, and people were talking about a happiness industry and about how happiness was our national obsession. And, you know, I spend just as much, if not more, time in a kind of melancholic, ruminative state. And I wanted to kind of celebrate that that's good. We don't always need to be searching for happiness. It's good that we're melancholic sometimes. And the music helps us.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that if we get it right, being sad, that that can actually make us happier, be cathartic in some way?
Absolutely. You know, there's a lot of thought that maybe listening to sad music helps drive us deeper into our sadness and therefore helps us find a focus to help us recover from it. So,
yeah. Okay. Obvious question, but got to ask it. What is your go-to miserable song?
You know, one that I really, really love is it's called The One by Lamb Chop. It's on their 1996 album, How I Quit Smoking. And I was in Boston in college, and it was just snow and rain and walking around the city with my headphones on. And this song specifically makes me very sentimental for the time.
Best of all are the things that's in this world that's worth a look. You make it hard when I'm with you. Scary sights are the things that haven't happened but just might. Don't think it over so quickly. Look around.
Oh my, really, Lamb Chop, The One. I'm in near tears over that one, but what is it about it that gets to you?
I love Kurt Wagner's kind of gravelly voice, and he's just barely above a whisper. I just love it.
Great. Well, thank you so much for helping share all this melancholy with us. Adam Hotelling, his book is called This Will End in Tears, The Miserablest Guide to Music. Thank you, Adam.
Thank you so much.
I hate leaving on such a sad note. I am going to lift our spirits. Here's a little something from Bye Bye Birdie.
Gray skies are gonna clear up, put on a happy face, brush off the clouds and cheer up.
What do you think, Adam?
I love it. Thank you.
Take off the gloomy mask of tragedy. It's not your style. You'll look so good.
I'm Susan Stamberg, NPR News.